You know, I always tend to say that I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to talk about, and happens to be true, because so many things have been going through my head this last week. We were at Synergy last week when Charlottesville happened, and we came back to that, and it was like, whoa, you know. We'd hoped that the Aryan Nation and all that was kind of chilling out and melting down, but as I was watching one of the reporters talk, she showed a history of the activities and how that it's never gone away. It's always just kind of hidden down a little bit. So I have a question for you. What happened, how many of you would know, what happened on June the 21st, 1992? Now think, it's the month of June. What usually happens in June? Pride Day, okay? June 21st, 1992. It was our second Pride Day out at the Murray Park. How many of you were there? Me? Oh, that's it. Jay was there, okay? So we were out there. We'd been there before. We'd been meeting up in Sunnyside Park up here for a bit. We'd had a couple down in Pioneer Park. And this was our second year. We went out to the Murray Park out there, and it was really nice compared to Sunnyside. You were at Sunnyside, weren't you? Yeah, it was like, it was like a grass and a piece of shade this big for however many people were there. It was awful. And so here we are. We're out here at Murray Park. There's trees. There's a building over here. There's a building over here with a walkway between it. At that end of the walkway, there's a hill. And you can spread out your blanket on the hillside and you can watch the performers. It was really cool. I was with the UGRA at the time, Utah Gay Rodeo Association, if I could say it. And we were out there in the morning. We cooked breakfast in this building over here for the first 3 hours. It was a fundraiser and it was a way to, you know, contribute. So we cooked breakfast in that time. And it was a lot of fun. And it was just a little afternoon. And I heard something, so I went out to see what was going on. And what had happened was a group of skinheads from the Aryan Nation had formed together and marched into the center of where we were holding our Pride Day festivities. And so a bunch of people confronted him. Now, will you stand up, please? Kay is the skinhead. And I'm going to confront Kay. And what the people out there did, they walked up. Oh, Barry, I need you too. You're with me. They walked up to like this, and they turned around, locked arms with the people beside them, and just ignored them. They were screaming and yelling, and I think the group that was around them was singing, "We Are Family," over top of them. And they just ignored them, just ignored them. And the police came and took them away. What looked like was going to be really ugly wasn't. And I thought about that, and I thought about how that compared with what took place. And it's like, we ignored them, and we took away their power. And I thought, what would it be like if when these groups arise, if we stood back half a block and turned our backs on them, didn't recognize them, just stayed away? Let them walk down the middle of the street screaming and yelling and beating their shields and stuff like that. Instead of running up and yelling at them and confronting them, what if we put Jesus into practice and we let them be themselves and just did it? It worked. It worked. I've been in a couple of three marches, and being in the march is different than being a spectator too. I was a spectator in that one, but I've been in marches. And it's kind of scary when there's people on the sides yelling at you. Years ago, up in Logan, they had a cartoon that was in the paper. And all of a sudden, it was a national cartoon. And they put a gay character in there. And so they pulled the cartoon out of the paper. Well, some people got together and they did a march up there. And we got together, and then at a certain point, we left the fairgrounds where we were, and we went down the block and across in front of the newspaper that was responsible for it. And what they had done is they had pulled all the counter protesters in and to a point where you walked through single file, and they were here, and they were here. and you went through here. And my mom and I and my sister Ida were there. Mom was my age. Actually, she was 70 at the time. And so I walked through first, and Mom was behind me, and Ida was behind her. And we walked through, and they're yelling at us and all this stuff and saying things. We just quietly walked through, got to the other side, regrouped. And Mom was funny. We get over to the other side, and she looks at me. She goes, "And they say we're weird?" And I was like, "Yeah, they don't get it. They don't get it." But that was what it was about. And I thought about it. We followed what Jesus said. We didn't cause a conflict. We didn't cause trouble. Basically, we loved them by not beating them up. Because in the group that showed up at out of the Pride Day, they were way outnumbered. I mean, they could have got trounced easily. But we chose not to do that. Now, when Barry asked me what I was talking about, I says, "Well, I'm talking about communion." And it was like, okay. Because that's what, when I was up at Synergy, that's what the Spirit told me, was communion. And he says, "What about it?" No, what did you ask?
He said, "What about it?"
"What about it?" I says,
he said, "Why is it so important?"
"Why is it so important?"
I thought he was asking me why I was asking about it.
So he's going, he took it personal. And it's like, no. I mean, why is communion so important? And communion is so important because, like so many things in our faith, it's a reminder. It's one of those things that helps keep us on track. Jesus did that in his teachings in Matthew 5, 23 and 24. It says, "Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and reconcile to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Jesus reminded us, if you've got something against your brother, are you going to walk in your spirit? Are you going to walk in the Holy Spirit if you're turned up inside and you're knotted? And Jesus told them that. He says, no, go straighten things out. And then you can come and you can worship. Why? Because you've got a clear mind. You've got things that are going on. And so you can straighten that out. That's what Scripture does all the time. It reminds us of what Jesus is calling us to do. In John 6:35, it says, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty.'" I'm the bread of life. In that culture, bread was essential. The biggest majority of their meals were bread. They used bread in all kinds of things. Whenever they made a contract, they used bread. They ate meals together and celebrated. And God wants us to celebrate. That's why he gave us Passover and tabernacles and all those things. So the people would get together and celebrate and rejoice in what they were doing. And in John 6:47-51, it says, "I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate manna in the desert and they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, and the man may eat and not die. I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And this bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." What did he just say? You got to eat flesh, my flesh? John 6:53 says, "Jesus said to them, 'I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever." That's tough. Sounds like cannibalism to me, doesn't it? And it caused them problems then. The Roman Empire, they looked down on cannibalism because there were people that practiced it. And they looked down on it. But what happened is Jesus is teaching a point here. And he's making a point. But what happened is the Jewish people took it so literal all the time. So is he really saying, eat my flesh? That you can't. They're not going to have that opportunity to. He's going to go to the cross. They're not going to have that opportunity to it. And so what he's saying is, I'm the bread of life. Now, I have this roll up here this morning, and Barry goes, that's a big honking hunk of bread. Well, for a while I used bread, because Scripture says he took bread and he broke it, and he gave it to him. And so some people would end up with a big old, with a chunk like this. You know, he says, give me a glass of juice. But the point is, what he's saying, he's not saying, take and eat, take me and eat me. What he's saying is, what I teach you, the doctrines that I teach, those are what you need to take inside. And he uses bread, because I'm going to use this little piece because I have to keep talking, okay? But he says, when you take bread and you eat it, okay, what am I doing? I'm chewing it up. It's in my mouth. I'm breaking it down. I'm swallowing. Thank you. Now what happens? I've eaten this piece of bread and it's sitting down here, about right there. It's going to move. It's going to be broken down. It's going to go into my intestines. My intestines are going to draw the nutrients out of it. Those nutrients are going to go into my bloodstream. They're going to go out to the cells. The cells are going to take those into themselves. They're going to break it down farther. They're going to change it around. They're going to burn it up in energy. They're going to use it to rebuild part of my body. Hey, I had a boiled egg this morning. It's over here. Okay? It's protein. So my body's taking that protein and it's using it to rebuild the protein in my body. It's no longer bread. It's a part of me. Matthew 26:26. While they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. All, not some. Okay, all. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of the sins. He says it goes in there. It becomes part of you. And so it becomes a part of you. So what he's saying is, take my teachings. Take the things that I teach you like you would eat bread and you would drink wine. My teachings are my blood. They're my life. And I'm giving it to you. Make it a part of your life. And back then when they celebrated communion, they used a big roll. And they broke it. And I would take this and I would pass it to Kay. Not that way, but I would give it to Kay. And Kay would tear a chunk off. So if I come down here and I give a piece of this to Kay, and then I give it to Derek, and then I give it to them, and it goes around the room, and by the time it gets to the end, every one of you have a piece of this bread. You all eat it. Then we pass around the tray here. Don't take Gary's, okay? And you have grape juice. And we gather it together and we drink it. This juice came from the same bottle. We drink it. What do we have in common now? It's all a part of us. It's a part of you. It's a part of me. We are built of the same things because we have that bread. We have that juice inside of us that we have taken into our bodies. And so we have this connection, this tie. We have that commonality because we ate from the same bread and the same juice from Jesus. And so whatever Jesus said, taught came inside of us. It was written down. Now we read it. We eat from the same book. And it becomes a part of us. And so Jesus is saying, become a part of me, and I will become a part of you. 1 Corinthians 11:26-29. For whoever eats of this bread and drinks of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so what it's saying, It's a covenant that we are making. When we consume communion, we're making a covenant with Jesus that we're going to proclaim his death until he comes. Remember he told us to go into the world, make disciples of all nations? He's saying, if you do this, if you take this, you're proclaiming my death until I come. Therefore, whoever eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of Jesus. In an unworthy manner. Now, see, I want to straighten that out too. Okay, well, let me read the next line. The man ought to examine himself before he eats the bread and drinks the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself. One of the problems they had back in that time, when they first started celebrating communion, they would hold it together, they would worship, they would share a meal together because Jesus shared a meal with his disciples. And so they would get together, they would have a potluck. Everybody brought something. Some people didn't have a lot. So they brought a bag of chips. Some people had more, so they brought potato salad. Some people had even more, so they brought fried chicken. But they all brought something, a box of Jell-O, something, okay? So they would get together, and at the end, they would celebrate communion. They would take the bread, break it together, pass it around. Everybody had part of the bread made from the same dough. They would eat that. Then they would take the cup. They would take the wine. They would pass it around. And everybody would consume part of it as part of communion. Apparently, what happened, evolved, was eventually people got too busy. Now, none of us have that problem, do we? Yeah, we never get too busy. But what happens is they started not meeting together. And it reminds me of a story I heard that probably you may have heard also. It was made up. It's a made-up story, but it's to make a point. It's a parable. And it's a story about how the nation was going along and a disease broke out, Ebola, in another country. And it was contagious, very contagious. And it was 100% fatal and looked like it was 100% contagious. If you got it, you would die. It may be in a couple of years. It may be a few years down the road, but it would kill you. And so they sold off the borders, weren't letting anybody in. And then one day, they hear the report that New York Hospital has 2 cases, and it spreads like crazy. And there's no cure. And then one day, they announce they have found a cure for this disease. But they need to have somebody who does not have the virus. And so they ask everybody, go to your hospital now. Get your blood drawn. We need to find somebody. So everybody goes. This one guy and his family goes down there. They get their blood drawn. They're waiting in the parking lot. And they come out with a bullhorn and they announce that they have found somebody who does not have the disease. And the people cheer and start yelling. And they announce the name overhead, but the guy can't hear who it is. They announce it again. He still can't hear. And the third time they announce it, and his son tugs on his coat and says, Dad, why are they calling my name? And he goes, whoa. So he picks up his son, and he runs to the hospital entrance, and he says, my son doesn't have it. This is my son. And they says, well, come on inside. We have paperwork I got to do, and we got to talk. And they get inside there, and they're talking about it. And they said, yes, we have the cure, but there's a problem. We didn't count on the person who was healthy being a child. And we need his blood. We need all of it. He won't survive. So we have to let you think about it and decide, will you do this? And they're thinking, what would you do? Would you let him? What if it was your mother? Because I don't have kids, you have all my kids you want. But you don't have it. But the son says, Dad, it's okay, I'll do it. And so they do. And the boy dies. And they make the vaccine, and it goes throughout the world, and it's presented to everybody. And the people say, well, we just can't let this go. So they decide to celebrate every week, I'd remember that this little boy, that the son, gave his life. And it went on for a while, but pretty soon people started getting too busy. And so some of them would go boating, some of them would go to the mall. How would that father feel? Well, that's what happened with Jesus. The virus is sin. We're all guilty. We're all guilty in there. And we're guilty of the sin. And Jesus is the cure. And he gladly said, Dad, I'll do it. I'll do it. And so part of what Scripture is warning us about is that we get busy. We forget. Or we do it in an unworthy manner. In 1 Corinthians 20:22, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper you eat. For as you eat, each one goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. People would come in and they wouldn't bring anything to the potluck, but they'd eat half of the bread before they even got there. They would consume it. That they ate it in an unworthy manner. They weren't celebrating communion. They were eating. They were coming for the potluck without contributing anything. And he says, you're not doing it right. You're doing it wrong. You're breaking it down. And so people were going without. They'd run out of bread before everybody got a communion. Like I say, again, that would be like me passing this around, Kay ripping off half, Kyle ripping off a fourth of half of that, and we've got this much left for the rest of you. Communion is that reminder that of what needs to be, what we need to remember. The reason we're having that is because it's a remembrance that, like John 14:18 says, I will never leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Jesus is there, and he's saying, I'm available. I'm available. Hebrews says, keep your lives free from money and be content with what you have, because God said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. But he also warns in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why in the parable that I told you, everybody was sick except for the little boy who represents Jesus. We've all sinned. We think about Charlottesville and we get really mad at those people. Have we ever done something really stupid that hurt somebody else? I have. I hated it. Not at the time. I was mad. I was angry. And that's the bad part. The other part of that is, back in 1966-7, I was part of the Army Reserves Artillery Division up in Ogden. We were trained for riot control. And we were on standby because this is when the Poor People's March was taking place in Washington, D.C., which probably you don't even remember. And it was taking place and they were camped out on the mall for a month. Riots were going off in L.A., but luckily I didn't have to go there because they had the National Guard for those. And you would think, okay, here you are in your military outfit. You got your rifle and you're moving in to move these people out of the way. And they had a system all laid out, divide and conquer. Start pushing them down a street. When they get to an intersection, push them three ways. Get them smaller and smaller and smaller. The other thing they would do is they'd get up on buildings, and they'd have snipers with paint guns. And they'd find out who the agitator's on. Oh, you're the agitator. Boom. So they shoot Derek with a paint gun. Then they move in, isolate him, take him away. If they can't get to him, they just switch to a real bullet. This is what I was trained to do. I wasn't the sniper. Thank you, Lord. I was just one of the people that would be one of the pushers. And we trained by practicing on each other. We would have balloons with water in them and flour. Things like they would throw them at the people, at the other guys. Do you know how many people got mad when they got hit with a water balloon and a bag of flour. Some people actually decked people with their rifles. And we were just playing. We were just playing. And I thought, God, I can't do this. It's awful. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory. And so I look at those riots and I think, I know how they feel. Part of me wanted to be there, but the other part of me said, no. But then I found out there was a church where there were 1,000 pastors and families and they're praying. Right outside was the rioters. I thought, I'd like to have been in there. But Jesus says, I died for you. I died for all of you. Maybe he doesn't know me yet, but I still died for you. I still care. I still love you. I still want the best for you, even though right now you're not acting very good because you don't know me or you've lost sight of my love. And to help you keep on track, I've prepared a meal for you. We call it communion. And you can eat that meal any time you need to or want to. There's no limit. Now, some Catholic churches say once a day. If you're around Father Jim, you'll have communion once a day. I've gone to conferences with him. We celebrate communion once a day. But Jesus says, here's the meal. I'm the bread. My blood is the juice, the wine. So when you eat bread and you drink the juice, remember what I have done. And he says, remember me. Remember what I've done, because it's for you to remember how much I care. So as we watch things that are taking place or we get involved, we have the skinheads walk into your camp or whatever, love them. Love them. Because you'll have people that won't. 1982, Patrick and I are down by Temple Square and we're hugging. Some people walk by and yell obscenities at us and throw beer bottles at us. It's going to happen. Don't be like me. Smart mouth. You're a lousy shot. Invite trouble back. But communion's for everybody. Some of the people didn't know. Others did, and they got crazy anyway. But we're to love. And we can celebrate communion anytime. If you need to do it in the middle of a restaurant, a cracker and water will work. Because if you come up, lift up this corner, you're going to see a cup in there with water in it. Because he can't drink the juice. If you come up here underneath, you're going to find a little envelope with a name on it. Rachel. Why? Glucose intolerant. Rice crackers instead of wheat. It's all the same. It's all the same. One guy talked about how his dad used to celebrate communion, and he'd give us those little... Have you had oyster crackers? They're little teeny crackers, and they're kind of brown, and they have holes in them. And he talked about how the holes were the piercing of his hand. The brown was the stain from his blood for his kids. And use the little crackers in communion to teach them. Communion, yeah, it ties in. I didn't think how it was going to tie in, but it did. Because it's a way of reminding us of who we are in Christ and who Christ is in us. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for the simple meal that you've provided for us that says so much. Simple bread or cracker or whatever, and juice or water or wine, that we can celebrate and remember that you did give your life for us. You taught us. You asked us to be a part of your life, to take what you taught inside. And Lord, I just pray that we will do that. In those times when things start building up and we need a release, Lord, remind us to grab the cracker and the water and the juice and celebrate communion. Celebrate your love. And then let's take that love, Lord, and extend it to others. And if they're acting out of style, don't beat them up. Love them. Sometimes love means just ignoring them. So I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I was going to tell you one of the ways about my mom. My mom, one time I was throwing a fit in the grocery store, and I was dragging my feet. She just dropped my hand and walked off and just left me sitting there acting like an idiot till I got over it.